Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
Thank you for the privilege to speak today. And always, I don't take it for granted, you know. And what Dave was saying was also on my heart. That's what I wanted to start off with. A review of some of the highlights of the messages from last year, and then I'm going to go into hope and glory. So what Dave was saying, I was thinking about, like, when I was putting this together, the first part of it, like, we are so privileged that we get to hear people's, what they're hearing from various perspectives and various people throughout the year, you know, and you don't get that in a lot of churches. It's just like the pastor is the only one who ever speaks. And, you know, I think it's a real blessing that we have that. So I'm just going to cover a couple of the highlights from last year. Of course, it's really highlights because, you know, every message is so deep. But the year started out, 2023. Sue spoke on Psalm 23, right? And when the Lord is your shepherd, you will never lack. And then Dave went into, what is your work for restoration of the family? And we are warriors and builders. And God's children are always on the move. And am I fulfilling my purpose in my generation as you desire it? So that in the beginning of the year is like kind of a setup for how you're going to be living your life in throughout the year and throughout your lifetime. Pastor Ruth spoke also from Psalm 23 about laying down in green pastures, and my history with God says that he is faithful and I can lay down. I can rest in the Lord, you know, no matter what's going on. Then we had Kurt come and visit from sports camp, right, which is really another great work of God. And then that Jesus is always spiritual healing over physical healing. We know he does both, but that's his first priority. And Jesus came to heal the sinner. And I spoke about let your words be words that lift up others. And then John Price visited us and it was like, what do you want me to do in this stage of my life? Which you can't go wrong with a thinking like that. Like, what does God want you to do? And then Pastor Ruth spoke about put skin on it. Remember these things? Yeah. See, I pay attention during. You guys might think I'm like doing emails and stuff, but I'm really taking notes on my iPad there. Otherwise, I couldn't do this, right? Our words are powerful when they are the Lord's. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jeremy spoke about be willing and Abraham. I really love the that part. I always remember that part when Abraham rescued Lot and all the kingdoms or the Sodom when they were taken up by these other kings and they lost the battle and they were taken prisoners. And then Abraham took over those guys and conquered them and then released them. And the king of Sodom wanted to give him, well, hey, you could have all the wealth. And he said, no, I raised my hand to the Most High God because I don't want to take anything from you, only the people. And I think he said some food for his men, lest you say that you made me rich when it was God who made me rich. That's something that always stands out to me in Scripture. I remember hearing a message years ago, that message, and it's always, you know, some messages that just stick with you. But wisdom, listening to God is wisdom, wisdom fully committing yourself to God, to his ways, his heart, and his leadership. Without a vision, we all perish. Happy is he who keeps the law of God. And Sue spoke about pruning with a purpose, right? We all need to be pruned. Don't like that process, but it's necessary. Remain in me and I in you, and anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away. Become a mature disciple that way. We are not waiting for him. He is waiting for us. Rivers of living water are to be flowing from us. Listening to God is wisdom. A walk of faith. John and Cheryl Price visited us. We are atmosphere changers wherever we go. That's a really good thing to keep in mind. Shake off the old structures. For the sake of righteousness, Ruth spoke this one, look at things a new way. men ought to always pray and not lose heart. That's, we kind of heard that. Dave just spoke about that, right? All these things are like all connected, right? They're all, I think, to progress us as a body and as individuals, to progress us, to propel us, to elevate us as believers, right? We should not lose heart. God's dreams or your dreams, and Dave spoke about Joseph and the Lord and that gave him success wherever he went, even when he was in prison. He saved thousands of people. When you're faithful to God, your impact will be exponential. That's so true. And then he spoke about Mephibosheth and the covenant before God is eternal. Anointing destroys the yoke. Dave again spoke about living God's dreams and about Joseph, and no matter what the enemy has, he has no part in me, right? So God's plans for you are success, and you will be successful when you stay in His on His ways. Here comes Jesus. Cheryl spoke that word, right? Speak the opposite of what you see. You're seeing negative stuff happen. Speak the opposite of it, right? You know, I'm depressed. No, I'm happy. I'm joyful. I'm filled with God's goodness. Jesus is coming down your road. That's the reason to rejoice. I spoke about connection, the vine and the branches, and being spiritually minded, avoiding the older brother mindset. Yeah. Remember that guy? Yeah. Didn't have the best mindset. Be a flourishing green leaf. And then we had a visitor, Mark Tarantino, who spoke about Hezekiah, and Hezekiah changed the generation. And he did this because he brought back the things of God. We could always do that, always turn back, right? It's not what happened in the past. It's what's happening right now and moving in the future. Then we had Dan McKeon speak, Fire and Wind, about Passover. God is raising up new Moseses and releasing God's power. The blood on the doorposts, you know, it protects us, and our house is covered. Christ the Savior is born. We go into Christmas season. Follow Him even when times are tough, because you have Him. You will have trials, but He has overcome the world. Never forget that. We have peace regardless of the circumstances. So if you weren't here last year, you just got a full summary of just about everything. And that was in a pretty short period of time. All right, we all can go home now. God bless you guys. No, but I did have something on my heart. You know, I don't know how you guys, when you speak, but like what happens to me is that when I'm reading scripture or something just like jumps out at me. Like it really catches my attention. Like I'd be reading like pages and pages and pages. And all of a sudden, Christ in you, the hope of glory, just like bam. It just like ignited in my, and I'm like, this sounds like a message to me. You know, this really caught my attention. I kind of like that image. That's kind of cool. I just put that in there, just kind of set it up, right? In the book of Colossians is where it's written, and Paul wrote the book of Colossians. Guess where Paul was when he wrote the book of Colossians? He was in prison, right? You know, it amazes me. I just can't. When there's like several letters that Paul wrote, the epistles they're called, right? When he was in prison, right? Like, can you imagine being in prison and writing this God-infused, glorious stuff that's going to benefit millions of billions of people, like for generations to come? That's what Paul did when he was in prison, right? So Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. And you could say this letter is written to me, to the saints who are in Jersey City. Because it is. It's an eternal word, right? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the beginning. I just wanted to set it up just to keep the context in mind that Paul's writing these words of life from prison because he preached the gospel, you know? And Paul had that experience when he was persecuting Christians and he was made blind and heard God's voice and then was delivered from his blindness, and he completely 180 turnaround, right? Paul, Saul, he was called, became Paul. And, You know, we kind of forget those things, right? That's where he started. So we're hopping to verse 19 in chapter 1 of Colossians, being reconciled in Christ. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him, speaking of Jesus, in him, to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. When you hear about reconcile, what is that word? We do use reconcile, but it's more like almost like a business term. You're like, I'm reconciling the books, you know, I'm making sure everything's cool. But the word reconcile, and it also says we're supposed to be like ministers of reconciliation, right? We're supposed to be like that too, because we're supposed to be in Christ's image, right? We're supposed to reflect Christ's image. So what does the word reconcile mean? It's to reestablish a close relationship between, to settle or resolve, to bring, to accept. So Jesus Christ, he came, he paid it all, right? That's how he reconciled things. So if you think about like the Old Testament, many of us are like, you know, in a new year, we're in February, right? Believe it or not. We have objectives to read through the Bible in a year, right? I'm doing that. And I'm, you know, reading the Old Testament and the New Testament at the same time. But in the Old Testament, I mean, man, it was pretty harsh, the stuff. Like, you know, especially when I'm reading like right now, what am I in Numbers now? I think, like you hear this stuff like in Leviticus and stuff. If somebody does this, they should be stoned. Or if somebody does that, you know, they should be cast out. It was really harsh, the law. And the law was established to make us see that we can't do it. We just can't do it, right? And that's where Jesus came to reconcile those things, to bring the new covenant of God. And he did it through the blood of his cross. So I like to settle or resolve. So in him, all the fullness should dwell in Jesus. And by him to settle, he settled all things to himself. He did it by dying on the cross, by the blood that was shed. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. So he has set it straight. He's made it right for us in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. You know, no matter what we did, no matter where we came from, no matter what sin we might have committed, through the blood of Jesus, he reconciled us. He made it right through his sacrifice to present us, to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach. So his sacrifice, his blood, we never should forget, is the only way that we can be presented holy, blameless, above reproach, no matter what we did. Jesus' blood covered it, right? Like as far as the east is from the west, he removed our sins from us, right? That's how we can never forget that, because I think we always get pulled into a works mentality. Like we always have a tendency to kind of like go back into the Old Testament. Like I think we have to constantly remind ourselves. It's not, I mean, we do things because he first loved us, right? That's why we follow him. That's why we treat people the way he wants us to treat. That's why we want to think the way he thinks, because of what he did. But we can't earn our way into heaven. We cannot do enough to atone for our own sins. It's only Jesus and his righteousness. It's not by works. That we always have to remember that and never forget that. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I love the hope of the gospel. That's what we speak. The gospel is hope. Right? Without Jesus Christ, the world is a dark, dark place. With Jesus Christ, the world is a place of light and sunshine and amazing. So we were once at odds with God, but because of Jesus Christ, we are now in his family, and we are now we're now hope carriers, right? Wherever we go, we bring hope, right? We are hope carriers. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So this is like the verse that, like, you know, wham, hit me over the head, right? To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. You know, the gospel really is a mystery if you really think about it, right? It's like, it's really a mysterious thing. It's, how can this be, right? How can we be children of God? How can we be sons and daughters of God? It's a mystery. How can we be grafted into God's family? You know, if you think about the Old Testament with the children of Israel, were to be set apart as a special people. They turned away from God. They were put into captivity. You know, they were freed from Egypt, and, you know, then they again turned away from God, and, you know, it goes back and forth. There was a kingdom of Israel, and still the people that were at odds with them are still at odds with the people of Israel and in the Middle East. But in the end, you know, Jesus came to reconcile it, to make it all good the way the Father wanted it, right? And that mystery, it's really a mystery. The connection you have with God too, like when we were worshiping God before, it's a mystery too, like the how you feel, you know, in your spirit, right? You can tell people, you know, they could read the gospel and it could be just words, but when you experience the presence of God and the activation of the words inside of your spirit, that's the mystery that comes to life, where you know God is real. It's not just words on a page or a great book. It's not just the best-selling book of all times, which it is. It's life, and it's tangible, and it's mysterious. Like, how could that be? But Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what I want to talk to you about is hope and glory today. I've been pondering that. I've been thinking about that. Like, what does it mean, like, hope? And I looked up, you know, some things about it I'm going to share with you. And glory, what does that look like? So this is what we are to be. We are to have hope and glory. It's Christ in us. So that's an amazing thing, too. Christ in you. How does Christ get into you? You ask him, you say, what is it, Romans 10:9? It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's how you get Christ in you. So if anybody's listening and you never had Christ in you, or if you're not sure you have Christ in you, it's a very simple thing. You just say, you confess with your mouth who he is, who Jesus is, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He died on a cross for our sins. He reconciled everything. He made everything straight. And he is who he said he is. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you believe that, then you confess that with your mouth, and then Jesus comes into your heart. And that's Christ in you. Christ is now in you, the hope, and then the hope of glory is inside of you. It's a mystery. It's amazing. How could that be? How could we be walking around with Christ inside of us? It's amazing. So what is hope? Hope, to wish for a particular event that one considers possible. We are hoping for more financial support. To have confidence, trust. I think that's really the hope of the gospel, to have confidence and trust. But the definition also says to desire and consider possible, the possible. Expecting something, right? Expecting, I'm hoping for something. Glory is great honor, praise, or distinction accorded by common consent. Renown, something conferring honor or renown, a highly praiseworthy asset. That's what glory is. It's glorious. This is a glorious thing. This is a glorious time. We're going to talk about both hope and glory right now. So to hope in the face of all hopelessness is for me the greatest gift of the Spirit. I am repenting to glistening hope. I got this when I was searching this up. There was actually, this was written, I was surprised after I read it. It was like, and a lot of this on this slide, I think in the next slide, it came from somebody who was like an Anglican priest in England. And I'm like, wow, they really got it. They got it right, because this is really amazing stuff here. When the situation seems hopeless, normally what do? Woe is me. This is bad. How could this be? You know, as opposed to, well, it's going to get better. You know, I believe it's going to get better. When the situation looks the darkest, you have the greatest hope, right? I've heard it said. I believe it is Steve Backlund who says, "He who has the most hope has the most influence." You can think about that, right? If it's a bad situation, everybody's in, and you're the one person saying, "Well, I think we can overcome this. I think God's going to take us through," or "I know, not I think, I know God's going to take us through." That's a mindset and a muscle, a spiritual muscle that has to be built. I'm repenting to glistening hope. Whenever you are in a negative way, negative thoughts, you should repent to glistening hope, because we're going to hear why. "Now may the God of hope," so he's called the God of hope, so we should be hope carriers, "fill you with all joy and peace." Anybody want to sign up for joy and peace? I sign up for that. "In believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Abounding in hope means we're continuing in hope, we're living in hope. Every day we hope. We're hopeful people. Hopeful people are happy people, are joyful people, are rays of light. Right? Glistening hope. So years ago, we went through this study, In Christ's Image, it was called, right? Francis Frangipane is the one who wrote it. He's a minister, right? But he came up with this thing, glistening hope, right? And it's a great concept. If you don't remember anything else today, remember glistening hope. And remember this. What he was discussing, our need to have glistening hope in every area of life. And with your kids, with your spouse, with your work, with your school, with your relationships, with your friends, with everything, you know, glistening hope, and with the government, right? Have glistening hope with that. Sometimes it seems really hard to have glistening hope there, but we are in every area of life, and if we don't have this aspect of glistening hope, then we are believing a lie in that area, and are in danger of having a stronghold of the enemy there. If you think a situation will never get better, then you built a wall, a stronghold, right? And my belief is that this situation will never get better. Here's the wall, right? I'm never going to break through that wall. I built this wall around me, and this is the way it's going to be, and this is the way it's always going to be, and I'm going to have to just accept it. That's what a stronghold is, right? And it's believing that the situation can never get better. So if I don't have glistening hope for whatever the situation is in your life that you think is negative, then you built a stronghold. You're in danger of building a stronghold where it can't be overcome. Of course, everything could be overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. But you have to come to that realization and acknowledge it, right? Glistening means reflecting light readily or in large amounts, having a surface luster, reflecting light directly rather than scattering it. So it's like glistening. So you're reflecting Christ's image, right? You're reflecting hope is one of, and glory, which is Christ's image. Think of a diamond, right, and how it sparkles and everything, and especially when they have them on display in the jewelry store where you have these special lights that make them sparkle even more. That's what we're supposed to be, like those diamonds walking around. I'm like a reflection of God's image, right, and sparkling. That's what glistening hope is all about. We also glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. This is a build here, right? The passage leads us to Christian maturity. This is how you know you're a mature Christian, because if you're an immature Christian, when the first thing happens, a tribulation, you go in a tailspin, and you go, woe is me, and everything's against me, and this situation is never going to get better. How could this happen to me? Like any little thing that happens, or even, you know, if it's a major thing, you go into a tailspin. But a tribulation, if you're a mature Christian, you will persevere that tribulation. You'll get through it. I know things are going to get better. I know I'm going to overcome this through Christ, because it says in the scripture, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13, right? That's a good one to hold on to, right? That's a good one to kind of like, you know, put into your arsenal of verses, right? Thelma has it on her wrist. It's a good thing way to remind yourself, right? I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then you persevere it, and then hope builds. You build hope. It's a part of growing as a Christian and maturing as a Christian. You know, somebody says something to you and they're a believer, you're like, oh, wow, that throws you in a tailspin, and how could they be, and how could this be, and then you start questioning everything, and then this isn't true, and blah, blah, blah. And you let the enemy grab a foothold in your mind and start negative speak adds to negative speak. Whereas, no, get that out of my head, and I'm going to, you know, things are going to be better. Yeah, maybe that person said this and they're a believer, maybe they're having a bad day or whatever, but that doesn't change who Christ is to me, right? Because Christ is the Savior of the world, and he's my Savior, and I'm part of his kingdom. I've been grafted into it, right? That's what perseverance is, and that's how it builds your character. It's a maturity thing. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our goal is hope. What is hope? If you want to take a definition, a more spiritual definition, is the confident expectation that good is coming. Yeah. Do you believe good is coming? Yep. Yeah. Do you believe good is coming? No matter what's happening, no matter where you are, no matter what's going on around you, no matter what happens in your circle, in your family, with your friends, at work, at school, wherever you are, do you have confident expectation that good is coming? Because a lot of times we think, you know, like as Christians, like we've been taught, like, well, times are going to get bad, you know, and things are going to get, you read the, you know, book of Revelation, you look about, you know, persecutions and all that stuff, and we think about that stuff, and I always like to go back to, look at all the generations behind us, right? Even in our own lifetime, like your parents' generation, they lived through World War II, right? Then there was the Korean War. Then there's Vietnam. Then there was the Iraq War and you know, Kuwait. And remember all that stuff? And you're probably thinking, during every one of those things, you probably thought, oh, this is the end times, and the world's coming, you know, it's getting worse and worse and worse, right? But if you got caught up in that, it would have affected your whole output, your whole mindset on things, and how you respond to things, and how you reflecting God's hope, right? You can't be a hope-filled person if you're expecting things to get worse. And I'll tell you another thing. I think about these things too. I'm like, all right, you know, maybe you're not so happy about the way things are going in our country, but there's other countries out there, and there's Christians in other countries out there. And so how are they supposed to think? Right? Pick a country. Any country. Other than the United States, which I think is probably the best country in the world that we're privileged to live in. But pick any country, you know, that look at, all right, Europe, right? If you look at Europe, the economy is not as good as it is here in America, right? So how do you survive? It seems more secular there even than it is over here. Like, you know, and look at Canada, the way things are going over there. Then you you're living in Russia or you're living in China. Imagine. So you're telling me you can't be a Christian, a hope-filled Christian living in China, where it's a communist government and you're not allowed to worship freely? So, I mean, I think you got to think, you could always be hopeful, and you always can be expecting good to come, right? We were privileged last night to go out to dinner, celebrate our son's birthday, right? It was, we went to a really nice restaurant, but let's say we couldn't afford to go to a really nice restaurant, and we just had a some pizza in the house. We still had our family around. I mean, that, it's still, you know, that would have been glorious and happy. But we were able to do it. We did it. But that, you know, if you really boil it down, that's what's most important in life, right? Serving God, having a family that around you to surround you, right? And that's what they have in all these other countries too. So I like this. Our destination is not good actions, but a way of thinking called hope. It is the soil that faith and obedience put their roots into. So hope is what faith and obedience put their root. Without hope, there can be little positive change in life. So if you don't have hope, then you're hopeless. The situation is hopeless. You ever hear that? The situation is hopeless, right? The situation is never hopeless. It's never hopeless. There's always hope and opportunity for it to get better. So we have to have hope. We have to think things are going to be good, right? Another thing I like to do, I've been making this part of my spiritual muscle once I heard this, is like, and I got this one from Steve Backlund too, is like, when you wake up in the morning, say, this is going to be a great day. God is going to do great things for me and through me today. So I most days I remember to do that when I wake up in the morning, right? I'm like, got to go to work. You know, it's like, no, this is going to be a great day, right? And then I take a Dave-ism. I get to go to work, right? Dave taught me that, and it's a really good thing. No, like when I'm getting on the bus to go to New York City, right? I could think, oh, man, look at it. I got to get the bus with all these people and everything, and you know, and then I gotta walk through Port Authority, and there's a bazillion people that bumping into me to hit me, right? And then there's guys, smelling weed when you're walking everywhere on the streets, and there's homeless people all over the place, and I could focus on that, and I gotta get in the subway, and you know, you hear the latest thing that's happening in the subways, there's people running all over the place, and I could be thinking, wow, and then I remember what Dave said. I get to do this. I get to go to work because it is. I have a job. I should be happy about that, right? I get to go to work. I like the people I work with too. So I mean, I get to work with these people. I get to go to New York City. You know, I mean, it's a mindset thing, and that's a hope-filled thinking as opposed to, oh man, I gotta go. No, you get to. I told my daughter Gianna, she was thinking about going back to college, right? You know, she was getting comfortable being on break. And she goes, oh man, I gotta go. I said, gee, you get to go to college. Think about all the people who don't even have the opportunity to go to college, right? They don't even have that chance, that privilege. It's a privilege. And if you change your mindset, like, wow, I get to go here. I get to do homework. I get to study for this test. And I got it's a different way. That's a hope-filled, glistening mindset, right? It's a different way of thinking, you know? Yeah. Without hope, there can be little positive change in life. The kingdom of God moves forward primarily by what we believe, not by what we do. Yeah, you have to do work. Faith without works is dead. But it's your beliefs system, that muscle, it makes it possible, you know, for you to progress in the kingdom of God, to spiritually mature, and also to be a reflection, a greater reflection of God. I think that's what we want to do, right? We want to be greater reflections of God's glory in the future than what we were before. And that's why we're here today, aren't we? I mean, we're here to get more of this glistening hope inside of us. The kingdom of God moves forward by what we believe. Glistening hope is the kingdom way of thinking. That is foundational. Oh, that everybody would, in the kingdom of God, in every single church out there, every body of believers would grasp this and have glistening hope. Imagine the exponential change of everything, because it will just continue to grow. Not every believer has this, and this is like an awesome, like we're so privileged to be able to hear this and to get this into our spirit. Glistening hope is a kingdom way of thinking that is foundational for having victorious mindsets. That's so Steve Backlund in Victorious Mindsets, which is one of the best books, you know, spiritual books that I've read, is so practical. He got glistening hope from Francis Frangipan, which kind of ties into what Dave said. We get to learn from each other. Nobody's got a corner on everything. We only see in part, right? You're hearing in part from me when I was preparing this message. I mean, this is like a little tiny drop of sand of all the glory of God and the goodness of God that I'm able to throw a little drop of sand onto the beach because it's so deep and so wide and so immense and so mysterious. You know, it's exciting. It's great. All these mysteries of God that we can unpack and you know, no matter how many lifetimes we live, we wouldn't be able to get it all. It's kind of cool, right? Now let's shift it from hope to glory, right? 2 Peter 1 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That there's so much stuff in here. Faith and righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, it's multiplied to us. His divine power is in us. That's how you can overcome things. It's a divine power that's infused into us. So can we take on God's nature? Can we be like God? Yeah, it says it right here. This scripture verse is a really another one that you want to put into your arsenal of things to remember. We have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. What are the promises of God? What are the promises of God? We heard so many of them already today during worship. You know, when we worship him, it builds up like hope inside of us. He said he would never leave us or forsake us, right? That's a promise, right? You got a bracelet like that too, Thelma? You'd have a whole mess of bracelets on you with all the precious promises of God, right? Yeah. He said you'd be the head, not the tail, right? There's so many promises in the scripture. So because of these precious promises, right, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that is in the world through lust. And there's a lot of corruption all around us, so you need this infusion. You need this every day. That's why we read the scripture every day. We just don't do this. We just don't do this on Sundays. This is just an extra bonus, an icing on the cake. It's the daily walk with God that you know, where you're reading the scripture, where you're meditating on him, where you're chewing the cud, so to speak, right? And you're thinking about what you heard or read, or you're listening to the Bible app or a podcast or something that's spiritual, and you're building your spirit, because there's corruption all around you, because people, the world without God is corruption, right? It's there's, you know, deceit, there's lies, there's, you know, all different types of sin out there that we don't want to be partakers of. That we want to be partakers of the divine nature. And that's how you got to keep on infusing. You fill the bucket, you know, my cup runs over. If you don't let the cup run over, you take a glass of water, right, and you leave it here, it'll evaporate and it'll be empty. You keep on pouring into it. What's the pouring into it? It's more and more, more of God, more of his hanging out with his people and you know, encouraging one another. And that's how you build up the divine nature, repeating his promises back to him, right? He said, I'll be the head, not the tail, Lord. That's how we overcome the world. I like this. This also hit me when I was reading in Exodus. I was going through the, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the Old Testament. But this was kind of cool, and I've heard this before. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Like you were thinking, all manner of knowledge of the scripture, right? No, of workmanship, to design artistic works. So God's spirit was put into this guy, Bezalel. He was filled with the Spirit of God for workmanship, for artistic design, to work in gold, in silver. So, and I would say I've heard this, and this is also something that I've learned over time. Like, you know, there's no separation of spiritual and your daily, whatever you do, your work, right? Everything is spiritual. And you're created to do good works, right? Not everybody is, going to be, you're not just, your work for God is not just like doing something in a church, right? Your work for God is what you do every day. Watching children, you know, that's something if that's what you do, working in a bank or working in a factory or you name it, that it's the artistic work. It's a workmanship, and God has filled you with His Spirit to be hope carriers, glory carriers in whatever you're doing, right? So this is one example of that, right? Then in Titus. Remind them to be. This is glorious living. The next two sections of scripture is like, what does glorious living look like? This is what glorious living looks like. All right, this is how God wants you to live. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities. Hey guys, you guys should be subject to rulers and authorities. I'm reminding you of that. To obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. That should be kind of our default, right? There are times when you turn over the tables, right, which Jesus did, but that's like a rarity. This is more like what our nature should be, our divine nature, living God's divine nature. For we ourselves were also once foolish. Don't forget, you were once foolish and disobedient. You deserve, you were deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. Before you knew God, that's how you lived. And that's why other people are living that way, living in malice and envy. That's how people without God live. You are hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Again, I go back to, it's the blood of Jesus that makes us righteous. It's not works. This is another good verse to be very mindful of, not of works of righteousness. You can't work your way into the kingdom of God. It's only through the blood of Jesus, right? That's a whole message in itself. But according to His mercy, He saved us. It's not a works-based religion. It's a relationship-based religion where you accept Jesus Christ, as I mentioned before. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly. God poured out His Holy Spirit on us abundantly, and He continues to do that. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. That means constantly, like agree to these things, affirm them, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Good works is important. These things are good and profitable to men. So that's part of glorious living, right? Being peaceable, speaking evil of no man, being humble, remembering that you can't work your way into God. You don't get pulled back into the Old Testament, right? That old covenant, it's a new covenant that we're living on. These things we should affirm. And here is a glorious living, part two. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. This covers everybody. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. This is glorious living, right? It covers everybody. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. You guys workers, instead of saying bondservants, say workers. Obey all, what your bosses say according to the flesh, not with eye servant as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, And we forget this sometimes, right? We kind of get into the complain mode. All those things I was talking about before, walking through Port Authority and getting bumped into and everything like that, right? But, I got this new project at work I got to do. How am I going to get it done? And, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Who's watching me do this thing? Who's paying attention? Nobody's paying attention. Oh, I can skirt it by the side or not do it, right? Like, righteous living is like doing what's right when nobody's looking. And nobody's going to find out, or at least you think nobody's going to find out, because you're doing this not for yourself. You're not doing this to earn your way into heaven. You're doing this as unto the Lord because of all that he poured out into you. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Well, why should I do something good when this other guy's doing something that's corrupt and they're getting away with it, right? We always think that way. If they get away with it, like, why can't I get away with it? Because you're a child of the living God, because you're a glory carrier, because you are a hope-filled person, because you're glistening with hope. That's why you can't do what the other people do. You're a child of God. So that's really what I wanted to share with all you guys today. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. So I got a couple of declarations. You want to stand with me and we could say these declarations? Guess what the first one is. All right, let's say them together. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. I have glistening hope in every area of my life. Everything I do is unto the Lord. God's glory flows through me. Amen.